Also, like, Rasputin, I think, is, like, a topic at some point in time that we should touch on.
I know very little about
the Russian mystic.
Oh, God.
Really. All about diving as deep into
As, like, a Russian Orthodox, like, that's my culture. That's part of what I grew up in. My father's from Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. When he came here, he fell in love with my mom. He converted to Russian Orthodoxy. Therefore, hashtag, I am raised as Russian Orthodox. So I spent a lot of my life in the Russian Orthodox Church. And one of the biggest figures, most negatively spotlighted, is Rasputin. And he kind of ended the whole imperial Russia that turned it into communist Russia. So they put all of that blame onto him primarily.
Mm.
In the family, the Romanoffs, I believe is how you properly
I'm so sorry for being ignorant to who the hell the Romanoffs were, because there's a show on
Amazon
that's not coming out about the Romanoffs and Iron.
Oh, that's gonna be a huge thing. I'm sure the whole, like, I think our culture is kind of like going through historical or popular historical happenings. Like, we had the Tudors, which was like English and French and all of that, you know, like, Henry the 13th and or whatever the fuck. Now we're kind of like slowly going through all of the monarchy, imperialistic times in human culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Russian culture is going to be a huge thing soon, which obviously it's going to be. I mean, the Romanovs that's the last king and queen of Russia, who was apparently taken down by Rasputin, which I disagree with.
Now, this may be an ignorant question. The story of Anastasia? How does that correlate to any of that?
Anastasia is almost kind of like a folklore.
A folklore.
Yeah, it's more of like a folklore. They had a daughter, but she really, they had a lot of daughters. When they finally had, one of them happened to be named Anastasia, but their son, the only son that they had, was riddled with illness. He was hemophiliac, which I believe is if you get like a bruise, you have a bleeding disorder.
Yeah, yeah.
And the close relation between the Russian mystic Rasputin and the Romanov family is he was brought in because he apparently had healing attributes. He apparently kept their son alive through prayer and practice and ritual alone. So I think that they took that story of the son of the Romanovs, mm-hmm, and Rasputin, and they turned it into like this warlock guy and made like this folklore situation and romanticized it with Anastasia.
That's fucking weird.
Anastasia's story is just weird in general.
It's a cool story. And listen, I may not know all the facts around it. Mm-hmm. I'm coming from more of a historical point of view, less of a, like, I grew up watching the Disney movie Anastasia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a great movie.
I don't fucking remember it. I gotta rewatch it. Because bits and pieces.
Yeah.
It's good.
But the only thing that I could take from the whole history of Rasputin is he was brought in as a counselor to Romanov's wife, which was the queen or the empress of Russia, or the there's the Tsar and the Tsarissa.
Tsarissa.
Yeah. And that's who he mostly focused on. So maybe they took like a combination of like, oh, maybe perhaps there was this romantic relationship between, you know, the Tsarissa of Russia and Rasputin, and then with correlation of like, oh, he healed somebody and he had these magical powers.
Okay.
Yeah. So when you really dull it down, it's a very sad, sad story because Rasputin himself was, he almost is a relatable person. He comes from a peasant village out in the middle of Siberia, and he has a spiritual awakening one day, and he travels throughout the lands and learns about spirituality, learns about Russian Orthodoxy and the church and everything like that. And he eventually makes his way up to literally the czars of Russia, like the imperial family, and has all of this wild success coming from this poor peasant family, and is ultimately vilified and murdered because they blamed the fall of Imperial Russia on him. So
it's, I mean, this is my nerd coming out. He sounds like a Game of Thrones character.
He sounds kind of like a little Lucy, like, right? Like, yeah. A little Lucy, like, going on that journey of trying to find knowledge and just trying to help people and trying to spread a certain word. You know, I he sounds a lot like that.
Yeah.
I
totally agree. No, he does.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I feel personally bad for him because he's vilified, and a lot of, obviously, I talk to a lot of Russian immigrants due to my marriage life, and a lot of them don't like him. Really? And they don't, because they see him as, like, a deceiver, somebody who abused his power. But when you look at everything he did, he was asked to do something, and he said, yes, let me try to help you.
So he's like Castro in a sense?
Say that again?
He was similar to like Castro in a sense, where it was just like,
I don't know if I would compare. You're talking
just off of his perception. Okay. Like when Castro died, a friend of mine, his mom, like when growing up, his mom always used to put us on a game about just educating us on like world history, like Templars, stuff like that. Just, and when he died, she would tell us about how his death had a lot of people conflicted. Like how he was perceived was dependent on who you talked to, you know, because he did a lot for his people. He was like a benevolent dictator, so to speak. He was the guy who was like, all right, I'm going to start a war with these people, blah blah blah, for whatever reason, but the real reason was they have all the bread and I need it for my people.
Yeah.
And going in and asking, it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
We know what game we got to play, and it's called murder, war. Let's do this shit, because my people got to get fed.
The difference, the huge difference between someone like Rasputin and Castro is he was not a violent man.
He was not.
No. Mm-hmm. Despite coming from literally Siberian huts. I mean, we're talking about fucking straw Siberian huts where all you have is just a little shitty fire and whatever the fuck you caught. And he didn't cause violence because of that. He was always just trying to give counsel. When he was first born and when he was a young child, he was always looked at as a mystic. As someone who was able to perceive the future or predict things and stuff like that. He was never violent. He was never sadistic, I would say.
Right.
If you look at any written records of him, is this Finding Nemo?
No.
Did you just fucking put it on? No. No. Don't worry.
Finding Nemo was not my mood.
Finding Nemo was based on Rasputin.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Silence of the Lambs.
Thank you. Oh no.
Hold on. We're doing Pine Trees in the Wind. Oh. Okay.
Did it pop?
But yeah, he was always a mystic. He was always a peaceful person. He only ever tried to help, but he was never violent about it.
I've never seen it. No.
Nope. Did you just put a fish in a percolator?
Yeah. Yeah. Wine.
Gotta love Twin Peaks.
Anytime, this is a classic.
But
yeah, like right now, you don't understand like where my mind is right now. Like half of my visual like side of my brain is like, oh wow, Twin Peaks, and the other half that's just interested in fucking world history and knowledge is like, I never noticed about Rasputin. No, because it's fucking interesting.
Because in popular culture, Rasputin's been vilified.
Look
at Hellboy. He was the main villain in Hellboy. And he was going to be the villain in the third movie had that been properly made.
I mean, in the game Destiny, he's a fucking AI robot that like causes war and conflict on the planet.
Yeah.
And it's like he's known as the Rasputin bot, and I'm like, but was Rasputin really like fucked up, or am I having a bad perception of this?
There's actually a very popular band that is not actually from Russia. They're from Jamaica. But they're popular in Russia.
This is going.
And they're called Rasputin.
It would be some fucking Jamaicans.
But they're called Rasputin. And we play them at every Russian karaoke night.
It would be some Jamaican. From a West Indian level, he understands.
I don't know what that means. No, but because
it's like I don't know what's the way to call it, but I guess the Jamaicans are like the poster children of West Indian culture, so it's almost like anybody were to just have any sort of intersection with Eastern European identity and politics, it would somehow be fucking Jamaican.
Yeah.
I have a joke that you took from me, you fucking asshole.
It's my joke. I've been saying it more than you.
That's not hilarious.
I said it once, and you just was like, I'm jacking this shit. And I'm making an NBC fucking series out of this.
That's right. I could because
we're gonna Hannibalistic.
Yes. Because you know, the most unenlightened person will think Jamaica is all the West Indies because it's Jamaica, 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 and that little Haitian island called Jamaica.
Piece of shit.
Yeah. And the worst thing about it. Is these, oh my God, Jamaicans, they had me so fat over it.
Yeah.
They swear they are the gods of the islands.
I'm talking
the
to
gods.
Like, if
they
you,
sound
if you,
righteous as fuck.
if you thought
listen,
maybe
you
Russians
had one
proud with their nationalism or the sense of like, yes, I'm going to rip my flag. Fucking Jamaicans, if they could just forever be green, black, and gold, they would.
Yeah.
They would literally change their skin. If they could to green, black, and gold. Most Jamaicans would.
They'd be the only humans in the world that are actually made with different colors.
They'd be the only motherfuckers to do it. They'd be like, that's right, because Jamaica did it. They'd be like, fucking of course Jamaica did it. Of course Jamaica did it.
Because look at all the pop culture surrounding Jamaica. Everything's about Jamaica.
Yeah.
Cool Runnings.
Jamaica.
Mark for Death. Which is not the best example for Jamaica.
Say,
like,
maybe
that is
Steven Seagal. Is, movie.
Yes,
Steven Seagal seems a bit all. Oh, here's the guy with the percolator.
But you know,
so there's actually a guy with a percolator that puts a fish in it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get fucked up and watch it.
You have to. It's a little further in.
Oh, yeah, and there's Laura.
Oh, hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Oh, hi, Mark.
You're in the bag.
Oh, hi, Mark.
What the fuck was I saying?
So then I guess my question would be...
That we have to do the intro first, Imani.
Should we have to do it now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like right now? Like, we're literally
you're talking to
30 minutes in.
Two people who practice rituals.
Yeah, so we need to do...
Ritualistic by nature.
Okay, we have to do like... So who wants to do the intro? Because I did it. I did it. So who wants to do the intro?
All right, guys. Welcome to a brand new episode of Lend Me Your Fears.
This is the most sexual intro ever.
It is. It is very wet and moist. And very hot. And our special guest is doing the hand thing. There you go. That's proof right there. This is wet. This is normal. And it's hot.
Like,
we doing it.
Like lemon pepper wet.
All right.
Fucking lemon pepper wings. I'm saying, I'm glad I let them sit. It's like they're like off topic. Yeah.
No, you do. You gotta let them let the moisture, let the flavor hit the meat.
I don't eat meat, so I don't know.
Well, you gotta let the flavor hit the veggies. You know what I mean? Let them hit the herbs.
She is coming here and has uproared us with her religion and politics.
I'm sorry.
She's not eating meat.
Oh, don't be. That's your thing. Yeah, bring variation here.
I got
wine. That's all I've got.
I'd be one of my friends with that.
Heaven. That's what you want. Oh, God.
And hell.
Yeah.
A little.
He did it. He did the thing.
But yeah.
He's my friend.
But yeah.
I'm going to ask those questions also as a fucking.
But yeah, I am. I am David Strange.
I am Ashley Supreme.
I'm Imani Wilson.
And our special guest.
Just Ashley.
I jokingly again called you AK-47 when I saw
I'm AK-47 or Dark Allspice or whatever the fuck you want to call me.
This is fan fucking tech. I always tell people if I give you a nickname, it's because you're instantly one of my favorite fucking people. Yeah. So literally, I didn't even know who the fuck you were. I saw your name come up on it. I was like, that is Ashley. Okay, I'm going to have to get her
on that. Yeah. AKA. Dark Allspice.
And definitely need to see a Dark Allspice commercial. I need to see that.
I hope to make one sometime.
Because the regular ones are already like retarded.
I'm
gonna bring it to that fucking ignorant level.
There you go.
Yeah,
you already have enough to start with.
I'm ready for that.
I'm so fucking ready.
I'm down.
I need something to like.
Pentagrams and just straight up just. Subliminal, like Adult Swim at 5 a.m.
Yeah, oh, God.
All the while,
the fuck is that?
Just all the while, keeping my like fucking odor to a minimum.
Yeah. And Swedish Death.
It's going to smell fabulous. I promise.
Earthy, because I'm telling you, I'm glad you said it. Because I bullshit you not when you came in here. The first thing I said was because I'm big off of like perfumes and colognes and things like that. I was like, well, she's like come in with like something that's like. Something from like a forest. It's foresty. It's earthy. I'm getting all these different tones of some sort of like scent. So once you said like, oh yeah, no, it's pretty earthy. I was like, oh fuck, that's dope.
Wet dirt.
Like literal actual wet dirt.
Well, I'll get the actual scent out because I think it would be kind of fun to have a reaction.
Just going in the bag.
Let's see. I'm going in the bag. It's called During the Rain, and it's by Solstice Scents. Please check them out if you haven't.
Plugging Solstice Scents.
Yeah. They're amazing.
Solstice Scents.
Yep, that's exactly it. I was just dirt. Like, dude, it smells like a nice outside. Like a nice part of outside.
Yeah. Wow. That's like when you're laying down, depressed in the rain, and you smell
Because literally, as soon as you walked in, I was just like... The fuck she
Am
came
I
in
sad?
With like the elements.
Okay, so no, she wasn't kidding when she said she smelled like wet dirt. Mm-hmm. You were not kidding. But it's good. It's a good scent.
Yes. I think everyone has a positive memory connected to that scent.
I do.
So
knock this little boy on his ass.
The olfactory it's a fun fact, the olfactory sense is most tied to memory, which is why something like that is dope, because now if I smell like a where did I remember that from? AK-47. Oh yeah, that's right. AK-47 in the time I learned about Satan. And
you know what sucks about that though? Imagine meeting somebody for the first time and they happen to be next to someone who stinks. But that's the smell you're always registered with that person.
Yes.
That'd be pretty fucking bad.
That has happened to me.
Really?
Oh, no.
My olfactory senses are very sharp, and I don't like how sharp they are.
Right.
And there are a few people that I'm like, oh, I could smell when someone has acid problems. I can smell when someone has an upper respiratory infection. I can smell halitosis. I can smell a cavity. I can smell anything like that. And it's gross and weird, but I can.
That's like, I feel like you're like from the Misfits. You just got an ability you did not want or ask for.
No, and I did not want to smell all the smells, but I can smell most of the smells.
You can smell a cavity? That's mind-blowing.
In somebody's mouth.
That's fucking mind-blowing.
Yeah, most people have it. And that's okay. Like, if anyone has it, it's okay.
What does that smell like?
I think I smelled it before. It's like a rotted smell. It's a rotted smell.
Really?
Yeah, it's a rotted smell.
It's decay. And in fact, I think almost most people can smell it, but you never can pick up on it. Because you don't realize, ooh, what's that? Like, what am I smelling right now?
I know the smell of it because I remember someone I used to date, they had an abscess in one of their fucking teeth, and I remember just going, whoa, what's that? And I was like, oh, okay.
So this is something that it when you do smell it, it's like, oh my God, you have it. Like, it's not one of those, like...
It's like a faint smell, but it's very... It's prominent if you've
witnessed smelled it before.
If you smelled it before, yeah.
Yes. Mm. It is. So it almost stays with you, which is like linked to your memory, which like is...
You know. A rusted battery meets like something that you think is gone bad. It's probably the best way I could describe it in my head. It's like a battery that's no longer good meets like something that should just be thrown out. And you go, oh, okay.
That's intense.
It's fucking weird.
That's intense. It's
fucking weird.
Yeah. So I smell, especially being a hairstylist and a makeup artist, I'm very close to people. So I often smell, I can smell when women are pregnant.
I just want to hug you.
It's funny. A lot of people say that to me. I'm like, I know. I am sad in that sense. But, yeah.
You can smell when someone's pregnant?
Yeah.
How?
The back of their hair right here. Something here. There must be a gland at the back of their neck. When you heat it up, you can smell it. Oh. And I can smell it whenever I blow dry a pregnant woman.
Wow.
And, yeah. And what would you say the notes are similar to?
Because you're
good with notes considering you're like a sommelier with the wine. So I'm trying to see what you may be related to.
So it's like a combination of sweat and a pheromone that you would smell in a crease of a body. Like, have you ever, it's almost too gross to describe. Like if you've smelled the crease of a thigh or something like that, combination
like of underbelly,
it could be a little bit like of that.
Like creases in the belly.
And it carries, it's almost sweet, but not in a sweet, and not in a nice way. Okay. So it's a combination of all of those things, but it's sweet.
I see what you mean.
Yeah. So I mean, I'd have to literally take your face and shove it into a pregnant woman's nape to get you maybe close enough to understand what I smell.
A fucking Saturday night.
That might be a Saturday night for most people.
That might. I mean, that might. If you have a foot fetish, who knows what else you're into.
Well, it's a nape, not a foot.
I was gonna say
yeah, that. Yeah.
I guess whatever you feel like that night. No kink shame. No, don't do that.
No.
So we started this off on a very spiritual level. So I'm going to bring us back to that spiritual level.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to talk about witchcraft and spiritualism. According to me and David Strange.
Yes.
Because I'm already just unsettled on the whole sniffing pregnant
woman. Yeah, I'm sorry. I should never have brought that up.
No. Like, I'm glad that you did.
It's a horrifying thing.
I'm glad that you did, because that was really enlightening. But
horrifying to know.
Sometimes pregnant women smell better than other pregnant women. Sometimes they have a nicer, sweeter smell.
I can't stand that little invisible thing that happens to guys around pregnant women. It's fucking really savage.
And it's a smell.
Primordial. It's a thing.
Invisible thing?
Yeah, if you notice, if you're around other pregnant women, your like arousal peaks to them. Like, just, I don't know what it is, but it will happen. It's
so
strange.
You're probably smelling it without smelling it.
Yeah. And I've read upon it because I was like, okay, I wonder what
like why
that
do
is
I
about.
Why
like,
do I get like that?
Why do I get like that? Like, oh hey, whoa, she's like 5 months along. Weird. What is wrong with me? It's like, all right, this is some weird, like thing deeply encoded in the human genome.
Let's talk about spirituality.
Yes, yeah, we fucking should, because it's very strange. I'm not into that weird, you know, section of the dark net. Yeah. But I don't know.
You're gonna go with that.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I mean, you kick off. I mean, it's up to you. I guess the one thing I was gonna say was, so all of those things being fair, besides my weirdness, I think Tom made a very interesting point about it, you know, to say like, hey, you know, these days it's very modern and hip to not be a religious person and all these different things.
Yes.
And the thing is, you know, as someone who was also brought up as, you know, Christian and grew up in the background, I was Catholic, Baptist at some point or another. Then at some point I spent the whole summer, like, you know, studying Islam. You know, going through, like, all these different things, just not for my own journey, but just out of curiosity and information. Now I'm at a crossroads where I'm just a spiritual being. Because the last thing I took from my mentor, my grandmother, was she never thumped the Bible. She was all into energies and the cosmos and the universe and all of those different things and metaphysics and all of those other different elements. And I'm just at a point where I'm like, okay, I believe in the form of a creator. And I believe that these constant tales and religion about this Christ-like character, whether it be a Buddha, whether it be a Jesus, whether it be a David, whether it be a Muhammad, are like the same interpretation just given on different parts of the planet.
Right.
So I'm just at a point where I'm like, look, I just believe that someone created this shit. And I acknowledge it, I appreciate it, and I guess my energy is I want to just simply create, and I recognize that I also destroy. So I recognize that balance without giving it an exact informal title. You know, most people would be like, you know, yeah, an entity. And then most people, because one of my friends who's a hardcore Muslim is like, so you're just spiritual? You don't want to just acknowledge the fact that Allah did all of this. I was like, look, that's fine. You can say Allah did it. I'm not taking anything from you, but I don't want to acknowledge it to Allah. That's nothing against them. That's just an interpretation of that same story.
Right.
So I guess, you know, from you guys' perspective, I don't know if that has its own denomination, if that's anything along the lines of what you guys are speaking of. And I'm like, I'm a fucking Satanist this whole time. So I'm just curious. Like, you know, where do you guys think that, like, falls in line? Is that just a person who's just spiritual, agnostic? I don't know. I don't know. Where do you think
that falls? I wouldn't call him agnostic because you do believe that there's something out there currently.
Yeah, I do.
Agnostics, like, I need proof.
Doubtful.
Where's this Jesus fellow everyone's talking about? I've never seen him before. I've never seen some hand of God. So until I see some evidence, no, you're not agnostic. You're spiritual, like you believe, hey, there's something out there. I don't want to call it anything. I don't want to follow this specific, you know, dogmatic belief.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're doing your own thing. So, you know, don't get wrapped up in labels if you don't want to be.
Yeah, 'cause I don't.
It's hard to come across people, especially you're in a situation where you're talking to people who are very strong in their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you can get wrapped up in what those people believe. Yeah. And hey, sometimes you find a genuine connection and sometimes you find your higher calling, but sometimes it's confusing and misleading and it may bring you down a certain path that you really don't belong down. And that decision is ultimately up to you. I had my own personal experience with Satan, Lucifer. And I'm sure that your friend, who is Muslim, had his own experience with Allah. And I think that people who are that steadfast, they experience that. And that's a good thing. Good for them. Maybe you haven't quite come across that yet. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
No, it just takes time.
I don't know, because then I also hate that notion, and you know exactly where I'm coming from, because you probably know it too. I think we all know it as a human thing. You know that shit that happens when you get older and you start to really test your, like, mortality, and you go, oh, man, everything's starting to wear down and get old. Let me start looking up and going, well, you know, it's only a matter of time until Jehovah takes me. Like, let me go ahead and go now to church. And I'm like, yeah. I don't want to be that fucking guy.
Yeah, like, yeah.
55, 60, and then yeah, you don't want to. I need to go hook.
I need to go to Jesus because I'm like, my life's ending, listen. And I got some shit to make up for. Yeah, no, that's not. Like, that's not the
that's
way.
That's not genuine.
That's not the way. That's desperation.
Yeah, it's like fear.
That's fear. Fear and desperation.
That's fear.
Yeah, and I see people do that shit all the time, and then I think about the idea of, like, if I were to have kids, what would happen? I'm like, I know most likely the person I'm with would probably be like, oh, yeah, praise Jesus and all that shit. I'm like, look, you can do that Jesus shit if you want to. I'm just letting you know it's a story. Like, I've seen all these other stories, and, like, I get it. I understand it. It's a beautiful interpretation. But I've seen it more than once, and I'm just not copping to a team. I just get it that somebody said, all right, all of this is existence. Someone was an avatar to say, hey, guys, follow me. And then everyone just started picking sides. I'm just someone that's like, this is cool. Mm. Got you. That's a nice concept. I like it. I like the idea of putting faith somewhere. Just I'm just not, I haven't given it a name.
You don't know where to put your eggs.
I guess at this point I'm almost feeling like, do I even have to? Because at this point,
no.
I've taken so many pieces from so many other different beliefs to where, you know, and I haven't even used that as an accessory, but I remember last summer when I was getting into yoga a lot, I went to a shop, got these authentic prayer beads, and I was walking around Comic-Con, some guy who's a Buddhist was like, oh, I love those cherry wood beads. I was like, oh, you spotted those. He's like, yes, yes. And then we had this whole conversation, gave me a bunch of books on yoga and all this other stuff like that, and asked for a donation. I'm like, of course. There you go.
Yeah.
That's in my pocket.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, they were hitting Comic-Con hard last year.
Yeah, they were hitting Comic-Con hard. So it's like, I saw it and I was like,
a lot of lost people at Comic-Con. A lot of lost people, unfortunately.
Lost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any figure? What do you mean?
Well... And this is my own personal opinion, but I think people who take getting into a different role that seriously are looking for themselves in some part of a character that they already found. So I think that that's a very easy place to find people who are perhaps like spiritually soft or spiritually acceptable.
Yeah.
That's why... In my opinion, you were asked for a donation.
Wow. Oh, shit. Wait, so I got basically is what happened?
That's what I think.
Oh, shit. I mean, yeah.
How long were you practicing that for? How long were you doing something like that?
Oh, I wasn't even practicing.
You were like, oh, I just copped these, like, cherry wood beads. And next thing I know, this guy is telling me, here's your cherry wood beads. And he sold me a bunch of books and said he wanted a donation or whatever. You know, he was looking for someone who was spiritually susceptible.
Yeah, I suppose that's probably it. I think I'm probably just like that guy at the party that's like, oh my god, all the Jewish kids are hanging out. Hey, what's up, dude? Yo, I like lox and bagels. Yo, you guys are fucking dope.
You
guys are fucking dope as fuck. Now I'm gonna go over there to those Muslim dudes because, yo, I like curry like a motherfucker. I'll be right back. So I'm like that cool dude at the spiritual party that's like, whoa, who did he come here with? Nah, nobody, dude. He's just hanging out.
I think that's fine. That's completely fine because you should ask questions. That's a very satanic thing to do, is ask questions.
You know what the weirdest thing, though, is? And I hate to just make this like the, oh, this is Imani's, like, spiritual journey, because it's not. It's just like, I guess I'm not even looking for any particular answers. I'm just taking all the different bits of information and just watching it translate to my own personal experience.
Right.
And then also, I think the one thing I'll say that's very weird to me and odd to me is when it comes to, like, your ultimate desolation, that's something that I probably don't have a real grasp on. The idea that I'm just going to discontinue kind of fucks with me a little bit. A little, just a little bit. It's like, I know it's going to happen, and I'm at terms with it, but I'm just like, but really though? Like that's just it? Like that's it? That's it. Like that's just it for me. Like,
That's
it's weird.
Atheism. I mean that's if you think that's it, if you think that you die and you've rot in the ground, that's kind of easy, like I said before, to accept.
Yeah, because there's no consequence. I always
think of some other plane of existence that I'd be able to coexist in and constantly be like, okay, this is exactly where I'd like to be, but then I'm like, but wait, do I have to pick a team to get there? Is that like, fuck, I have to get drafted to get here? Like, fuck, like again, like, I'm constantly looking at the next plane.
Look, you could be drafted to the Patriots, or you could be drafted to the Jets.
Okay, so, what are both of your viewpoints on the afterlife?
Yeah.
Do you believe in an afterlife?
Exactly. And who's got the fucking rules? Because either way, I'm bringing juice to the party.
Like, how do you guys feel about...
I'm bringing
two... Oh, why am I holding this needle?
Yeah.
I want that needle away from me.
He's aiming it at me.
and she's already told you about a childhood. She's like, it would be all over the floor. That's what I'm saying.
I got 20 more. Anyway, I believe we go, you know, again. We reincarnate.
You think so?
Yeah, like, it's a process over and over. I believe that there's something after you achieve spiritual enlightenment, after a certain point, if you get there, that you move on to the next plane of existence. But you just...
I toy with that notion also.
You just keep going.
I'm like, that's cool. That'd be...
You come back as a cat or a person?
And the lesser form is probably where I'm kind of like...
I think... I definitely think that there is an afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think of it as a hell or a heaven, which is where my version of Satanism varies from Tom's, where he is much more orthodox than I am, where he is more Abrahamic than I am. And
what does that mean exactly? If you don't, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Abrahamic it stems from a correlation to Christian beliefs.
Mm. So you're going on one of those sides.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to a more primal level of, we all kind of get spit in and out, and we will eventually reach where we need to reach, and there is universe after universe after universe. But, I mean, I firmly believe that there are spirits. I have weird dreams where, like, I was very close to my grandparents, where my grandparents visited me regularly. Especially during hard times, like I would have a dream about my grandpa, and he would pick me up in his old black Oldsmobile, and we would go driving down a country road, and it's sunset, and he's like, don't worry, I'm gonna take you where you need to go. And I've had that dream so many times, so I personally have faith in myself. I have faith in my beliefs. And that's what I would say is part of our afterlife. I could never give you a guaranteed answer. I've never died.
I hope not.
That's always interesting when you hear those perspectives from folks who've died. Like, I've heard one story based off of a podcast. You know Kevin Smith, you know.
Yeah,
Smith,
yeah.
Well, his mother died for, like, I think 7 to 10 minutes on the operating table, and she's like, oh, I actually recollected what happened in that moment. And then he's like, Mom, please tell me what happened. She's like, I just remember being in a pool, feeling like I didn't have to worry about where this person was. I was just really relaxed. She's like, whatever it was, I was so relaxed that I was like, I'm really good here. And then I woke up and I was like, oh shit. Then I was worried about all the things I would have to normally worry about. So I was just like, where the fuck was she? Where she just felt like, oh, okay, cool. Because she's like, it literally felt like I was in a pool where I just didn't have to worry about what anything I had going on. She's like, it just felt like a vacation from it all. So that was like weird to me, because I was like, all right, well, this is someone who is claiming, which I doubt they juiced it because they didn't make it a whole story. Like, read this book. It was just her own personal experience. Right. And her experience was, she said that she pretty much went somewhere where all her worries and cares dropped.
Yeah.
And she was completely at peace, at an ultimate peace. Like, she was at that peace at that time.
I mean, maybe I found that peace when I would have my dreams with my grandpa.
Yeah, right.
You know, where he was driving and I just kind of sat there like how I was when I was a little girl.
Yeah.
And he would take me to where I needed to go. So, who knows?
Yeah. And I think that's the one thing that constantly drives me through all of this. It's a matter of finding that peace, but then doing enough things while here to kind of not necessarily reward that, but basically say, well, I've worked all this much to be able to finally, at one point, I'm just going to stop. And then that'll kind of be my reward. It's like, hey, you did a bunch of shit, so now you have to do anything anymore. So you're done.
Just no, you're and that goes back to the atheistic point of view where like, oh, I'm done. We're never done. And I truly believe that. In my heart, in my soul, in every grain of my being, we are never done doing what we have to do. And that sounds exhausting, but I think it's true.
Yeah, that definitely sounds exciting.
Yeah.
We're never going to be done.
Yeah.
We're never going to be done.
And I'm such a contradiction because one of my tattoos is NERD and it literally stands for no one ever really dies because it's the concept of energy is endless. It's limitless. And I believe in that as well. So it's just the damnedest thing of like, I know while I may be quote unquote done, I won't really ever be finished.
No.
This vessel will be done.
Oh yeah, this motherfucker. This form will be here.
But your energy, your spirit will just keep going repeatedly.
And that's actually funny that you say this vessel. One of the things that I tell clients or anyone who's like, oh, wow, you have so many piercings or wow, you have such big tattoos. They say, how do you deal with that? How do you cope with that? And I look at them and I'm like, this is a vessel. Up here is what I have to be concerned with. So if I can take a pause up here and block off what's going down, like going on down here, it's easy.
Yeah.
It's easier than what you think. But yeah.
Yeah.
I want more of David's perspective.
Yeah, David, come on.
Give me.
That was any other questions? You can ask anything you want.
Let's go.
Witchcraft, anything.
Okay.
You can ask me about client work. You can ask me about how I got into it. You can ask me about my relationship with Ashley. Anything.
Okay. This question is a bit, I guess, loaded. Maybe not. Maybe. Who knows? All right, summoning. How does that work?
Because initially, when I saw the Damien shit, I was just like, when you first put that on, I was like, oh, okay, we're about to call something.
Gotcha. No, I was being an asshole.
My thing is
being an asshole.
But you saw I didn't move, not a flinch. I was just like, okay,
he was like gripping the knees, like.
Oh no!
This is my life now.
No, I was just literally sitting there.
All right, we're doing it. Let's go.
Just like stillness.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and see what's happening.
Because all right, my thing is this, right? My heritage. We come from like voodoo. Not my actual family or anything like that. No.
That you know of, because you never know.
Yeah.
You never know, seriously.
Yeah.
Put it that way. The family that I know of is very Christian. But at the same time, my mother would always have, like, visions or dreams. And all of those dreams came true, 100%. She had a dream. It was 1 year. I told you about this.
Really?
Friends of ours.
I never knew that.
When Rajan, a friend of ours got in an accident in Atlantic City. He let someone that we knew drive. And he just got their license.
God.
Just got their license. He hit the side of the road where, you know, it kind of has like those ridges.
The speed bumps.
Yeah. Just to let you know that, hey, get your ass back in the lane. Hit those, freaked out, whole accident. I'm in my room at midnight, right? Just fucking around. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, playing good bullshit, right? No, that's what I'm doing.
Facebook. Like, oh, all right, yeah. Facebook after dark.
Facebook. All right. MySpace after hours.
Look, no, I would tell you if I was doing some hoe shit. Right? Like, I'll put that out.
I'm drinking my dumb bitch juice. So go on. Okay.
Thank you for humoring me. And all of a sudden I just hear her get up out of bed and she's pacing all over the apartment. And I'm just like, whatever, she probably got a piss. I don't care. But then she comes in the room and she looks like she saw 5 ghosts and a random black guy walk in the apartment. Like, that's her face. That was her face. Like, oh, like,
oh my God.
You know what I mean? Like,
who the fuck is John?
Yeah.
Who's John? Why is John
here?
And she just kept asking me, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm just like, yeah, like, I'm on my couch. Like, I'm
okay.
I'm more than okay. I'm very relaxed right now. Like,
my dumb bitch juice right now.
For real. Like, I'm straight or whatever. And she's just like, I heard a crash. I heard a loud crash. All right, this and that. I'm like, I don't even tell you. No bullshit. I get, maybe an hour, a couple hours later. Yeah, we got in an accident down in Atlantic City, blah, blah, blah. And one of the people that she mentions in her dream was the person who got in. He was, like, the worst out of all of us. Out of everyone who got in the accident. Or whatever. And shit like that has been happening since. Little things like that. I even had an experience like that myself. Earlier in the year, I had a dream that I had 5 daughters. And every single one of them was fucking real. Like, I could smell them. Like, one of them was, like, wearing some Juicy Couture bullshit. That's how much I could smell them. And I'm like, why are my fucking daughters wearing this shit? Y'all are so girly. Wait a minute. I don't have daughters. What the fuck is going on? Or whatever. My bad. Or whatever. But that dream...
We good?
That dream felt so real. Like, I could touch them. Yeah. I could touch them. Or whatever. So my thing is...
What is it?
In that realm, like, do you, to personally, deal with that? Do you do that? Do you have that? Do you practice that? Is that something within, like, your everyday kind of thing?
I will actually tell you something. Yes, that does happen to me regularly. One of the few things I trust are my dreams, because it's lack of auditory hallucination and visual hallucination. And the reason why I say that is because I do suffer from bipolar disorder, which means I have high anxiety or I have very high lows where you can imagine anything. You can feel anything. For example, something that recently struck me very severely as far as like a dream premonition was about 2 weeks before my grandma died, I had a dream that I had my whole family. I'm talking about relatives that I had not seen in years over my house, in my home. And I was sitting outside and I was drinking whiskey and it was sunny and it was hot and I was sweating and my very, very good friend was with me, and the whole time she kept fussing and I was like, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? Like, something very important is going on. And this is before my grandma died. Something very important is going on here right now. Like, why are you so upset? And she was like, I don't know. I just have to go. And she left me for a minute, and then she came storming outside, and she started to walk down the street and not give me an explanation. And I just was shocked in this dream. And then during my grandma's funeral, or not during, I should say after, at my grandmother's repast, I hosted my grandmother's repast, which was asked of me just days before. So I had to prepare all this food. I had all of these people I had not seen in years, years and years and years. And a very close friend of mine, almost in a weird way, turned it in on herself. And she got up and she was like, I have to leave. I have to leave. I have to get out of here. And she stormed away. And it devastated me. And I didn't even realize it because I told that person the dream that I had. And I completely forgot about it while it was going on because I was dealing with my own grief. Because it wasn't even 2 hours my grandmother was in the ground. Shit. And I was really, really relying on her to be there for me. And she left. And it wasn't really for any reason in particular. And I remember that person, when I explained the dream, was asking me, well, do you know why? And I was, I don't know why you left. I don't know why this happened. And so, yes, I think that dreams happen. I think that there's such thing as intuition. Mm-hmm. Intuition is feeling the space, feeling what you're consciously aware of.
Right.
And then having premonitions is something a little bit more spiritual, something a little bit more deep than just that.
Mm. Yeah. Because I read something about voodoo. And the reason why I kept bringing up summoning was, essentially in voodoo, you're calling down like spirits of your ancestors and stuff like that. And usually, if there isn't a host to place the spirit, like a doll would be the typical, the person would often turn themselves into a medium. And the reason I bring it up is because there's this little thing I read where it, when they do that, it affects their bloodlines in some way.
Yeah.
So next thing you know, someone of that same bloodline will have prophetic dreams.
You're talking about legacy.
Right.
So someone in your bloodline, in your past, it's something that just, hey, you all got it now.
Yeah.
So sounds like your mother was a legacy.
Which is why I bring up summoning in the first place.
Yeah.
Because just off of what I've read, what I've researched, we're essentially like a product of that.
Yeah.
So my thing is, do you guys ever feel like you have remnants of that?
Oh, yeah. I don't want to ask too many questions, though, because I don't know how to properly ask, hey, did anyone in my family do this, this, and this? I don't feel like I can properly ask that. I think I know something happened, but yeah, down the line, I think I am a legacy.
You think so?
And my daughter, and it's going to be a girl, because, yeah, I saw that vision happen one day. She's probably going to be a legacy too. So, yeah.
That's fucking freaky, though.
It is. It's terribly freaky when you know, that's...
It's one thing to guess, and it's one thing to question. It's something different to know and believe.
Yeah.
So, when someone tells you they really, really, truly believe something, and you know that they're not currently suffering from some sort of hallucination, or they're not on some sort of heavy narcotic, or you know, whatever. It's a very shocking revelation, in my opinion, because I know David is a very, in my opinion, a level-headed person, and I take the things that he says seriously. Like, he did a reading for me a little while back, and it basically said, you're going to find more of yourself, which is what you're looking for, but you're not going to be a happy person.
Yeah, I remember that reading, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to go through such hell in order to get to the spot you need to be.
Yeah, And it was a constant, like, he was almost like warning. He was like, you're literally going to drag yourself through so much stuff. And it's one thing to think, and it's another thing to believe. For me, yes. Over the course of time that you told me it would happen, it did happen. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. No, that's funny, because I had gotten a reading maybe last year or the year before. And I got a lot of the things that they said or she said what was going to happen. Like, I specifically remember getting the sword card.
Do you remember which one?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Shit.
Okay.
Why? What is...
It depends. If you got a specific sword card, it depends.
All right, like, what do they symbolize?
The swords in general represent, like, knowledge. And, well,
pain through knowledge.
Yeah, pain through knowledge and mental awareness.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally went through that. Yeah. I'm still going through that. What the fuck? We all are
going through that. Yeah, but each card is...
It depends on how prevalent it is in your reading. Oh. What spot it is in your reading. So just saying, like, simply, I got a sword card. Okay. Well, did you get the two of swords?
She gets the three of swords. If you got the ten of swords, then, oh boy.
No, I think it was, there's like two.
Okay, good.
A little bit easier. That's time for reflection.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, crossroads. So, yeah, you got the good sword card.
Yeah, which I think are few and
far. Yeah, they are. Because after five, they just all go downhill.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, why are we doing this?
This reading was supposed to be, I got a 10.
We were supposed to go in a positive direction.
Yeah, so you got like seven swords.
Motherfucker.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. This is rigged. Fake reading.
Fake reading, fake news, fake reading.
All right.
Huh.
But, yeah.
Okay. Nine swords, just go to fuck home.
Actually, no, nine of swords. Nine of swords is, hey, I can recover from this. Ten of swords is go to fuck home.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Ten of swords is go to fuck home.
Yeah, because, nine of swords is sleeping and... Yeah.
Nightmare, and you can always get out of the nightmare. Ten of swords is like, bro, you fucked, man. Like, you...
Jesus.
I'm gonna look alive for that one.
Yeah. I mean, can we do a reading now?
Or is that, down to do a reading.
Is that too loaded? Is that a loaded thing to do?
Are you sure you want to do this recorded and live? Is that what you...
Come on, motherfucker.
Because that's something here, you have to think about.
Yeah.
Because normally, I go completely private. Like, whatever you say during this reading, that's it. It stays between whoever in that room. So that is the rule I have. Unless you tell people and you want this to happen, it's completely private.
I mean, I
want
to know.
You want to know, but do you want everyone that's going to be listening right now to know your shit?
Will that affect me?
Soup, I'm right there with you for support. I'm open.
Because that face right there is the, I don't know if you want to do this, bruh. Like,
I don't know if you want to have your shit public. Let's
if
think about
two people are giving that face, yeah, I don't think I want to do
thing
it.
About, the thing about making it public is you're asking for other influences.
Yeah, which you don't want. Unless you
even
volunteer.
I know that we're not actually public right now, but that may have an influence on your mental state. Knowing that this will be public will affect the outcome of your cards.
So
having that being said, you have to really decide, is this really something that I'm okay with sharing with people? Because if you're that stable and comfortable within yourself, do it. Because you'll get the clear, proper reading that you want. But if it's not, then it has to stay within the room.
Yeah,
with people that you're
like that is
okay. Then I won't take the risk. I'll keep it private.
Yeah, keep it private.
But I definitely do want it. Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
count already.
What I want to,
because I know it's going to be a lot for me.
Oh yeah, it's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot going on.
You're finding
it's a lot of philosophical things and theological things that you have to dig through
and really work out. I want to talk about media and witchcraft because that's fun.
Yeah, no, dude, go ahead.
That's fun.
Like sincerely, for these episodes of yours, I don't mind.
Yeah, because you know, these are rare, few and far between. You got two a season now, so I'm talking. but no, media and witchcraft. What are your thoughts? And anyone have any questions?
Do you say medium like as in
like media?
Oh, media witchcraft. Oh,
like media in witchcraft.
Okay.
Charmed, the new Charmed.
So okay, so here's the thing about like I'm not going to call it specific brands like I did in the satanic thing that we were talking about previously, where I had mentioned a certain brand, because that's not okay. But there are
New Balance. New Balance sneakers are the devil.
My rape shoes.
Which are technically not a bad thing, apparently. Not rape, but New Balance. rape shoes.
The thing.
So that's the Rainbow Cosby War.
I was going to say Chagonis before.
I don't think anyone heard that joke. God, yeah.
But in all seriousness, it's a double-edged sword. Because on one hand, the popularity that witchcraft and the occult and Satanism and magic has accumulated is good because it gives voice to people who are so scared and so neglected and so isolated that they don't know that they have other people to reach out to that are connected to them. On the other hand, it may be perceived as a bad form of behavior. It may be taken as bullshit. It may be used as a parlor trick, which cheapens and lessens what, like, people like me and Tom believe in, with Satanism. LaVey really did a number on Satanism. He really fucking ruined a lot of the spiritual aspects of Satanism by turning it into an atheistic like cult. So that is big in our occult media.
Now one thing I will try to chime in about, doesn't he have his own deck of cards as well that people subscribe to?
I don't know.
I'm not interested.
I remember hearing
because I have a lot of decks, as you can see, but
I remember hearing on some podcast somebody mentioned LaVey having either his own card set or
he's
a
like
book or something. Ironically, why the fuck would he have a fucking card set? He's like, doesn't believe in the afterlife. I mean, get the fuck out of here.
I can compare him to anyone. He's like the little pump of the occult. He's like the little pump of the occult.
That's priceless.
We had Kendrick, but everyone knows you.
He's that guy.
So yeah, now you get it. We had Kendrick, but no, everyone knows Lil Pump.
So essentially, he's the Billy Mays of like the paranormal. Is that what it is?
He's the Billy Mays of occult.
Occult, gotcha.
Yes. So that's
not paranormal because he doesn't believe in life. He's an atheist. He literally built a church off of atheism.
There's more.
Yeah. Just kidding. Because there's not, you die.
I feel like witchcraft in the media is a double-edged sword for the sole reason that mostly it's like, oh, witches are evil and da-da-da-da. The craft did not help matter. Because look at Nancy at the end. She went evil.
Oh, I love Nancy.
Nancy's hot, though.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, but she went fucking nuts.
You had to picture somebody in the cup and was going to go a little too far.
Yeah. Sidebar about Frusbach. She played a witch in The Craft and was a witch in The Waterboy.
Yeah, she's an actual witch.
I'm not playing. She was trying to tell us from the jump what she was into. We just wasn't listening. But I digress. Yes. I digress.
And my thing she is, went there, and you know what? Kudos.
Kudos to her.
And Rachel True. Rachel, I was just about to mention her.
Yes. Like she, fabulous. Rachel True looks. She's actually a tarot reader in L.A.
You said she's what?
Tarot reader in L.A.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
I love it.
But yeah, you have the craft which showed, hey, all witches are going to go crazy and they're going to be evil. And
can I say it? Can I say it from a really like lame, girly standpoint that I think most female audience people would like? I'm saying it. Practical magic. I said it.
Actually, I can kind of defend practical magic from that standpoint. It's like a nice, positive representation of witchcraft.
Practical magic?
Yeah, believe it or not.
With Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman.
Oh, but okay. You want to know the one I really cape for hard? It's a show on the Hallmark Channel of all places. It's called The Good Witch. Like, it shows a witch trying to live her life. She just uses her...
I never watched it.
It's a very positive view on witchcraft. Like, you know, you have the one town bitch that's like, oh, she's evil and, you know, da-da-da-da and all up her ass. But it's a very positive view on witchcraft, like, which I like. Like, watch that. That is what witches are. Full tent, the herbs, everything.
Yeah.
Versus... the craft. listen, well, I like the craft, all right? Everyone wants a girl like Rachel True, but deep down inside, they all want to deal with Nancy.
No one wants a Nancy. Nance, you're being a bitch.
Everyone wants a Nancy.
Nance, you're a bitch.
Yeah, it's like first it starts off like, then shit in the house starts being thrown around, and she's in the room, and it's like...
But yeah, there's also Constantine, which is it's a mixed bag, because the movie.
I love Constantine. I'm so always ready.
So seeing Pat working with the Egyptian gods. Explain that to me.
Basically, it was like, hey, let me get into Egyptian forms of magic. So let me explain that. Let me explore that rather, and see what that's about in the Egyptian gods, and just explore that in a different aspect.
Yeah, because I've had a fascination for a long time with having a son named Osiris. And
yeah, just don't go full Hotep, Imani. Yeah,
no,
because I will disown you.
I like the judgment of Osiris, the idea that you will either be sent to fucking nothingness or you will forever be able to walk the plains of existence if your heart is lighter than Mott's feather. I just love that concept. Because it's a concept of basically saying, don't be a piece of shit in your existence.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that goes hand in hand with everything. They just were one of the oldest historical recordings of that.
Exactly. That amped it up.
So, I mean, and that can go hand in hand with Satanism. I mean, if you look at the people who were like Neolithic and stuff, shit, they danced around a fire, shaking gourds, being like, oh, this fire, and... I mean, now you look at fire today and you see, if you associate it with the occult, you think of like Lucifer, the light bringer, you think of the flame above Baphomet's head, you think of, you know, those types of things. And I mean, it's all...
I think of the crucible. I think of the idea that you had people who started to sensationalize things that they did not know and understand. And then people themselves were tried for it. So, you know, I try to always steer away from that. I try not to ever deject something, even if it may not align with my beliefs. I say, all right, well, this is something someone has their own undertaking for.
Yeah.
You know.
It's his own.
Yeah, exactly. To each their own. I would never just outright denounce anything. I mean, there is one thing I do kind of denounce, but even then, I respect it for being its own thing. And that's, maybe this is slippery to say this, but I'll say... From what I've seen, and most people are like, oh, well, you know, are you someone who denounces idolatry? I mean, that's really slippery. It's like, I've got a Green Lantern statue that I fucking love. Does that mean that that's idolatry? You know, because then some people will see
iconoclasm,
like...
Iconoclasm? Or...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, iconoclasm is the destruction of...
Because icons. I know some people see Hinduism and will go like, oh, I'm not going to be doing this shit to a fucking statue for the rest of my life.
That's funny you say that, because one of the biggest sins in Catholicism is idolatry.
Yeah, it is idolatry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yet everyone outside of Catholicism is like, you guys pray to statues. you guys are going to hell. It's like, no, we don't. We totally do.
Right.
All like, over the church. Card,
there goes Virgin Mary. There goes Saint
Christ.
Peter.
There goes
Christ.
Yeah.
Can't find my key. It's Saint Anthony.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Fucking Brazil. The Redeemer. Big as hell on top of a hill. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I'd pray to that motherfucker, too. Yeah, that's a big-ass statue.
That is a selfie fucking out.
To be fair, in Brazil, you pray for anything for some salvation.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, of course, when you dip it in dollars and do it for favelas, yeah. You mean,
you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, as far as magics are concerned, I mean, I would say it's probably a good time because, like you guys are mentioning, it's the most open-minded that I think people have ever been in, like, modern history.
Yeah.
Well,
in a really grand sense,
because you have all this media coming out about witchcraft.
And don't get me wrong, it is bastardized and commercialized.
It really is.
A little
bit.
But it is making it a little more palatable with people.
It is, like, you just made me remember. When Sephora had that witch kit out.
That witch kit?
They were gonna have a witch kit out. You heard about this, right?
No, because I don't really. I honestly, there's the only thing I subscribe to is the a local company based out of New Jersey called Witch Baby, and they send out solstice packages, and they don't stick to any particular religion. It's about self-love, which is fine with me. So that's the only witch package that I receive. Everything else I do on my own.
Yeah, because I have a lot of friends who are witches and witchcraft. And that was like literally blowing up my social media for like days on end. And I had one of my coworkers who practices, she asked me my opinion on it. And for you, since you don't know, do any of y'all know about the infamous controversy about the Sephora witch kit?
All I know is that they were going to do it.
And they backed out.
That was because someone I knew was really into makeup.
Yeah. So essentially, it was going to be $42, and it's come with a deck of tarot cards, rose quartz crystal, a bundle of white sage, and several pintros that fragrances, excuse me, you know, and it was like everyone was in an uproar about it. Like you're bastardizing our craft. And
I was gonna say, who the fuck co-signed that, Lana Del Rey?
here's the deal with that. It goes with exactly what I just said before. You're going to attract like a portion of people who are like, oh, it's okay that I feel like this, like, naturally. Like,
yes.
It's okay. And then a huge portion are like, oh, my God. I could so relate to that. Like, she's, you know, you're gonna attract two different types of people most of the time.
Yeah. Right. That was...
Yeah. And that's the unfortunate part of it.
Yeah, that was my view going in. I was like, I didn't care because it was like, okay, great, cool. If you want to fuck up and reenact Evil Dead in your house... Go for it, sweetheart, because I'm not...
Do help. It. Actually, I want you to.
Yeah, because I'm not helping...
Like, I want you
Yeah, because don't call me, because I'm not helping your ass, because I got enough client work to deal with without saving your dumb ass. But, you know, I personally didn't have a problem with it. If you were going to, you know, do it, you know, have fun, just know what you're getting into, because if you don't, you're going to be in a hell of a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And, you know... So I personally had no problem with it. I saw a lot of other people that had like massive problems with it. Like, oh my God, you're taking from us. It's cultural appropriation, which is weird to me. Which is okay, great, cool. It's kind of like I can see where you're going, but no.
Yeah.
But yeah, they pulled it anyway. So I would much rather you go to like Botanica. Or like an actual store run by witches.
Yeah.
To like learn, get books, or even Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble's pretty static.
If you can find one.
If you can find one, go for it. But
what do you guys, just because I'm thinking about in reference to that kid, what do you guys hold perspective on crystals and quartz and amethyst and all of those different things? I know a lot of people that swear up and down, inside and out about that kind of shit. I'm talking to where I know folks who are like, oh, I keep amethyst around my bed, and I keep a little thing of quartz on me at all times in a little pouch, and this, and then one of my friends is like, oh yeah, I have a little rose quartz on my you know, at my desk. Where I'm like, yeah. don't fuck with my energy. And I'm just like,
all seven chaos emeralds around my neck,
like, yeah, and the Dragon Balls, all the motherfuckers, all of them right there.
I wish I had the Dragon Balls.
That ass. All of them. Just that way then you can tell Shenron what's your wish.
I couldn't do it. That's too much pressure.
Yeah, I actually, at the end of the day, I don't want that wish.
You wouldn't want that wish?
No.
He's only getting one.
No. Mm-hmm. One.
I tell his ass unlimited wishes, or literally, you have to make me, well, no, I wouldn't want to be
him. I would say I would like the best meal of my life.
Look, it shall be done, and then you just see a bag, and you go.
It was chicken nuggets this whole time. This whole time. And I don't even eat chicken.
Yeah.
Damn.
Fuck.
It seems like, unfortunately, we have to wrap this up very soon. I'm getting that, you know, broomstick.
Sandman time.
Yeah, Sandman time. Yeah. I wish we can expand more because this was really good. We have to find a way to continue this.
All right. Well, yes. I guess, yeah. Well, let's plan on doing your reading.
Oh, yeah.
And my reading.
So, yeah, them cards, Spirit Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to do that real soon.
Yeah.